Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, July the 31st, 2026. Last Friday in the month of July. A matter of fact, last day in July. How about that? First day of August tomorrow. And this morning we've been reflecting on the Larry Barnett tribute Night of a Thousand Stars event last night. Mary Ellen Withrow has called in. We've played a lot of our favorite moments from that event last night. But it went 2.5 hours, So it was an event to behold for a lot of people. And we are so glad this morning, after last night's event, to be joined by the honoree last night. One of our favorite people made last night such a special night. Legendary Major League Baseball umpire and 2026 recipient of the Madge Cooper Guthrie Humanitarian Award, Larry Barnett. Larry, how are you?
Well, I'm tired. It was a great night and a lot of fun, but it was long, and I'm just not doing too well at those things anymore.
You know, it did turn into a marathon last night, Larry. I thought we were doing one of those radiothons last night.
It sounded like the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Well, Larry, what did you make of the night as on the whole?
Oh, it was wonderful. My family, you know, it's the first time my family's been together. A thing like that for I can't remember when, and they all had a great time, and they really enjoyed themselves. But I'm just getting to the point where I'm just, you know, I just can't do stuff like that anymore.
No,
because of my health, and so like I say, we're gonna shut her down, and you know, if that is my last appearance that I make, it was a great one.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Larry, what did you make of the proclamations from the county commissioners and from the governor?
That's very nice. That is super nice. I'm sure that those will find a place in my office up on the wall.
And, you know, it was kind of interesting last night, Larry. We had some great music. Center Field was sung by 11-year-old Gabriel Ross Vanis, and we didn't do Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but the Marionaires did it last night.
Everyone just did a good job. I told that young man, I said, like, if I was healthy, I'd like to be your agent.
Larry, going up there last night, I was watching you give your speech, and I could see your family's table from where I was. And when you said that you thought that might be your last public appearance, they got very emotional. Was it emotional for you to say that last night?
Yeah, it's just, I think I practiced not getting emotional. I had thought all day about giving the line that Lou Gehrig gave. Today I feel that I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth, and knowing what he faced, that I seem to be going down that route. But I was glad my grandson was there, and it was just a great night. Both daughters, both my son-in-laws, and of course Sharon. Sharon's the one that holds us all together, and she's always done that with me for 56 years. She's told me what to do, and I've followed her lead. But no, we've had a great partnership for 56 years.
You know, Larry, it's interesting. Last night, we played your speech from last night on the air this morning, and we had people calling in holding back tears. They were very emotional hearing you speak last night.
Well, it's just, like I say, it is such an important thing, and it affects so many families now. And like I say, at 50 years old, I probably would react differently than I do at 81. But I feel bad for the people that are young that have this dreaded disease, and I hope and pray that someday they can have a cure, you can take a shot, or you can take a pill that no one will get cancer. I hope it comes to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it ever will, but that would be my hope.
You know, Larry, where does last night rank for you, possibly being the last public appearance? Where does it rank in your great life of public appearances and great things you've done?
Well, it was fantastic. If that's the end, then I went out well.
We're glad to hear.
That's about what I have to say. If that was the last one, and I know it is, I went out very well, and I'm very proud of it. And I thank you guys and all the people that were there. I thought the sheriff was fantastic. He's an amazing. I look at him and I think of Buford Pusser from Walking Tall. I don't really know him that well, but he seems like a wonderful man. But we have some great people in Marion. I guess that's why we chose to live here. This was home, and Prospect is home. Today I got up and I took a golf cart ride through the park. And just went back. There weren't many people there, but I went back and just took a look at it. And Brian Agler and his wife, that was so nice what they did. And they're big people in Prospect.
Wonderful, wonderful night. Larry, because people are interested at this point, how would you say you are doing? You looked good last night.
Well, I feel in those pictures up on the floor, I'll tell you what, I'm never going to wear that shirt again. I told Stan, I said, take that gray shirt out and burn it. I'm not going to wear anything but black from now. No, I get very, very tired. Just getting up out of my chair and walking out to the garage to get on the golf cart or in the car. It wins me. Last night walking out, Carson and Ben were at both sides of me making sure that I didn't fall. So it's getting harder and harder. And, only God knows when I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave it up to him. I'm in pretty good hands.
You know, Larry, we played a section of the video, but it's been a couple months now, and I'm sure we've got some time left here. But how would you like to be remembered by the people of the community, Marion, Prospect, and all around the country, people who've listened and watched you for years?
I would like to be thought of as a good person. I've had my faults, as we all do. But I tried to do what was good. I'm very proud of what I did with the veterans. I'm extremely proud of that. That awarded me a doctorate degree from Bowling Green for my work with that. And I'm very proud of that. Because I didn't go to college. My mom and dad always thought I should have gone and made something of myself, but I'm glad I did what I did, so.
Well,
I'm very proud of this. I'm proud of my veterans' work. That was a 37-38 year run.
Larry, I got to ask you last night, what did you make of those dessert hot dogs?
No, I didn't eat. When I'm going to speak, I never did eat. But my grandson and Ben, I think they had a few minutes. My son-in-law, everyone enjoyed themselves. It was just a festive occasion. And, Brenda Donegan, I haven't seen her in a long, long time.
It was just
nice seeing people.
It really was. And Mary Ellen and the whole gang there last night. It was.
Mary Ellen is amazing. She is amazing.
Yeah.
And she is a true treasure to this county, this state, and this nation.
Absolutely. Larry, there's something I did want to ask you. You ended your speech last night with a poem, and you did not read it off of paper. You had it memorized. Where did that poem come from? When did you start reciting that?
Coach Emma Rubich gave me that at Elgin High School. And every speech that I ever gave in my life, that's how I always ended it.
Oh.
Don't quit. That is the way I say it. It's just not quite the way it's written. That's my version of it. But it basically says what you want to say and how you want to say it. But last night I thought I'm going to do this, but I pray that I don't get in there and forget something. And I didn't. I hit it on every area. That's just something that I've done. Every speech I've ever given in my life, I always end it with that.
Do you just want to give us the ending to that, Larry?
Well, let me see. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. many a failure turned him out, might have won had he stuck it out. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse, you must not quit. And I think that pretty well sums up my condition now.
I think you're right. Larry, I want to say this before we wrap up the interview here. I thank you for showing up last night. I thank you for everything you've done over the years. I want you to call in anytime you feel like it. Feel free to call in during the show anytime. We love to hear from you. We love getting your thoughts on things. We love hearing updates on you. And one thing I did not get a chance to say last night, you know, there are a few people you run into in life who are so unique that you would call them a classic. Larry Barnett is a classic.
Thank you. I've been called a lot of things, but never a classic.
In the best possible way, Larry.
In the best possible way. Now, like I said, we're going to take a pause, and I'm just going to go with family and my church and God. That's where I want to be right now.
I understand. Larry, thank you for everything. It's such a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope the rest of your days are the best of your days.
Thank you for a fantastic event. That's a good way to end it. That was a great way to end it. A fantastic way to end it.
Thank you, Larry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Legendary Major League Baseball umpire Larry Barnett having moments here today.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that the speech or the poem, I suppose. I mean, I think it, you know, it hits the nail on the head.
And a classic. He is a classic.
Oh,
one of
absolutely.
My favorite people. One of my favorite people, Larry Barnett. I'm so glad he called in this morning, and was able to say that. Now he's going to take some time with his family and his church, as he should, as he should.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that the family is probably the most important thing you got.
Absolutely. Absolutely tremendous. And I believe joining us here now, one of our speakers from last night, hopefully listening this morning, legendary reporter for the Marion Star, Brenda Donegan. Brenda, how are you?
Good morning, Scott.
Brenda, what'd you make of last night?
Oh, it was very emotional for me and uplifting as well to be able to reminisce with Larry and the family. His daughter Kate and my daughter Danielle were cheerleaders together, so I really knew Kate better than I did Susan, but I remember Susan. And I don't know, Larry's just a classic person, as you just said. Very thoughtful. I think of him a lot of times. I think he lives by the golden rule and always has.
You know, Brenda, you were there last night, and I said there was a feeling in that room that was just different because of the situation we were in. How would you characterize the feeling in that room last night?
Well, it was both joyful and sorrowful and emotional.
It was. There were a lot of things. When you were up there speaking and looking at Larry, what was going through your mind?
Well, because I had the shots in my eye yesterday, I couldn't see, so I had to speak extraneously, and that kind of bothered me, but I really wanted to share a couple of the things that Larry and I had done together. Unexpectedly, it happened the way it happens most times, and again, he thought of others instead of himself. He always put others before himself.
You know, Brenda, I saw you go over and have an embrace with Larry last night on a night with so much emotion, as you have said. What is that like to come to this man who you've known for so many years and worked on projects with and knowing the situation is how it is medically?
Well, I've been there, Scott, so I know the emotions that the person who is facing death goes through. It was just like deja vu for me.
Yeah.
But, yes, I really don't know how I felt except joyful, knowing that he was a man of deep faith and that he knows where his final resting place will be.
You know, Brenda, it was very interesting. I had a unique vantage point from behind Larry when he was speaking, and I could see his entire family, the table that they were at, and I did not know what Larry was going to say, and the moment that he said that would probably be his final public appearance, his family, you know, I'm sure they probably figured that or knew it was coming, but they got very emotional, and that was I think it was a very hard thing to hear, as it would be for a man who's lived his life in the public.
Yes, we experienced that with my son, my older son. He said his goodbyes to the family, and yeah, it's really hard on you when you're on the receiving end, and I know it had to be hard for Larry to do that as well.
Well, and the way he ended the speech last night, the poem, it was, you know, he just said a few moments ago that he had used that to end his speeches throughout his career, and he was worried that he was going to remember it all last night and be able to recite it, and to do his last speech and be able to recite that and to end that couldn't have been any better. What were your feelings on the way it all ended last night?
Couldn't have been any more perfect.
No, absolutely. And the moment we just had with Larry on the radio here, where he said basically now he's going to spend time with his family, he's going to spend time with his church, and basically this is the end of his public life, I guess, at this point. I'm sure we'll see him somewhere, but that's a hard thing to hear over the radio here this morning.
Yes, very hard.
Yeah. Brenda,
he's truly an icon and a prospect. His sister, Ann Carr, and I were very good friends, and they didn't have an easy life growing up, as most families didn't. I had large families, and one earner, first thing, keeping the family going, and, you know, the struggles and everything that go with it, but yet they were a very close family.
I'm going to ask you what I asked Larry moments ago, Brenda. What is his place in the history of Marion, Prospect, and really the country as a public person?
Larry is a man of integrity, moral, respectful, honest, and truly thinks of others before himself.
He absolutely does. Brenda, it was great to have you there last night, and so great to talk to you this morning, and could not have more fun remembering the life of somebody who's still living his life with dignity and respect, Larry Barnett. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye. The legendary Brenda Donegan from the Marion Star for so many years. If anybody would like to call in, feel free, 740-383-9944, 32 coming up on 33 minutes past the hour here. You know, I'm so glad Larry called in, and honestly, I did not know that may have been the last time he does an interview. Larry, I think, will be around a while. I he looked very good last night and sounded good, but I think it's okay to want to spend time with your family and spend time with your church and doing the things you like, and certainly nothing wrong with that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I will say I have had a golf cart ride with Larry Barnett going through Prospect Park. That happened about 2 months ago. That was interesting.
How'd that go?
Oh, he gets that golf cart out on the road and takes you through the park there. He knows that park. He can give you a very good tour of that park.
Well, you know, I mean, the park was mentioned a lot at the event last night. I think that, you know, I don't recall who said it, but, you know, the park was like his baby, you know. he was always at the park.
And he said he went to the park this morning.
That's
and just
good.
Drove around. You know, what a fitting tributes for a great guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. People keep saying they're seeing these pictures and things online. Where are these pictures coming from?
I figure somebody's posting them on Facebook or something.
Must be. They're not coming from me. I don't know where the pictures are coming from today. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. See, he got a genuine laugh out of me this morning, though, because we played a video last night, and he had a gray shirt on in this video. And apparently he did not like how he looked in that gray shirt.
I thought it went fine. I mean,
I thought the video looked fine. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was fine.
Apparently, it was burning the gray shirt when he got home last night. He's only wearing black from now on. Oh, my Lord. What a guy. By the way, we do have a baseball autographed by Larry Barnett and Mary Ellen Withrow. Now, that's a one-of-a-kind acetate. We were going to silent auction that off last night, but we kind of got sidetracked, and I don't think that happened. So we are going to auction that off for programming here. So if anybody wants to put a bid in on that baseball, it's a Tony Paco's brand-new baseball autographed by Larry Barnett and Mary Ellen Withrow last night. You can shoot me a message on Facebook or email me if you have that, or you can call in here, and we'll take care of that. But it's a nice ball.
I'll give you $100 for it.
Oh, you got the first bid? You're going to start the bidding at $100? We'll see if anybody outpaces you. 740-383-9944. Well, I figure this. You've got Larry Barnett's signature on it, Major League Baseball umpire, on his last night. He signed that. And you've got the Guinness Book of World Records signature, Mary Ellen Withrow, who signed more money than anybody in the history of the world, over $1 trillion. That's a unique item signed on the same night, July 30th, 2026. We'll give you a letter of authenticity.
That's right.
That's how good it'll be. So, yeah. If you want it, you can do it privately in a message on Facebook, but or email me. But you're starting the bidding at $100.
Yep.
Now come out of your pocket, people, on this one. You know, let's draw some money in here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd have to get one of those ball cases.
Yep.
Where do you get those?
Amazon. I don't know.
How much do they cost?
I don't know. I can't imagine they'd cost more than like $20.
I don't know. We got to get one of those ball holders. You can't buy those somewhere?
Maybe if you go to like I don't know. Is Dick's Sporting Goods still around? Is that still in town?
I don't know. It used to be in the Plaza. No, I don't think it is. Is it? I don't know.
Oh, you could go to like Dunham's or something. You know, go to one of the like sports stores and.
Oh, by the way, I did want to say we have some of the gourmet hot dogs from last night here.
Oh yes.
Yes, I want to give those away. Oh, now, does good. Somebody? I don't know. I didn't eat them because I am not a candy bar person. But these are amazing. Look at those.
It's yeah.
They look like hot dogs, but they're desserts. They are. Oh, they smell good.
Is it still squishy?
Yeah. I had them in the refrigerator last night, so they didn't go bad. They wouldn't go bad. There's nothing on here that would go bad.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it's Twinkies in a Twix bar and icing. And if you want one, we've got how many here? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, a dozen. We've got a dozen. We'll give you one if you want one. All you got to do is come up here to the station. Let me know you're coming, though, by the way, because we don't want people coming in here and, we don't have any left or anything like that. So let me know you're coming. But boy, they smell good, don't they?
I don't know. I can't smell them. Nose blind.
There you are. 740-383-9944. How much do those look like a hot dog?
Well, they look like hot dogs.
I think they look great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd say they look like hot dogs.
If you'd been at the show last night, you would have got a free one. Well, you get a free one here. We're not charging for these. Yeah, maybe we'll auction these off, too. I mean, we'll be like QVC. Everything goes here today. We'll sell anything.
I can get behind that.
They look good. I think our friend Betty did those.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, she's tremendous. She's very good. She's a culinary expert in the kitchen. And everybody who helped last night, Sean did a great job. Terry did a great job. Dakota did a great job. Betty and Sue and...
Linda.
Linda was there, absolutely. You, the whole gang was there. It was a an event. And Adam, I'm sure, would have been there, but Adam lives in a different zip code now. But I know Adam's a supporter of things like this and big fan of Larry Barnett's and Mary Ellen Withrow's. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, do you know what kind of cancer Larry has?
No, I just, as he said, it's in his blood, it's in his bones, it's in his colon, it's in his, there's something else.
Bones,
blood.
Liver.
Liver and colon.
My dad had lymphoma and it was in several organs. Is he dealing with pain from it?
Not that I'm aware of. He looked fine last night. He didn't seem to be in any pain. He just said tired. He's tired.
Because some cancers, you can have a lot of pain with it. You know, it's eating you up.
But he got around great last night. His mind is still there. His voice is still there. He was walking around, stayed 2.5 hours, took pictures. He was fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Everything's good. He's a classy, classy guy. Did you get a chance to hear his speech earlier?
No.
It's very good.
I heard Brenda.
Yo, did you hear Larry call in?
Nope.
Oh, you missed that too. That was a good part.
Yeah, I just recently tuned in.
Oh, you're missing the heavy duty stuff. Gonna have to go to the website.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, check out the archives when they're up there.
You missed the poem.
Yeah, the poem. You gotta hear Larry's. It was hour number 2 when Mary Ellen called in that you get to hear the actual speech from last night. And then Larry called in for basically, I think, his final public thing this morning. Just moments ago, earlier this hour.
Well, you never know. If he stays feeling good, well enough, he might, you know, have another appearance.
Well, we'll see what happens. I think he wants to spend time with his family.
Yeah, that's important.
Yep, I think so. So you got any thoughts on anything else going on in the world? We haven't heard from you in a couple days.
Oh, no, I haven't been up long enough to really have any thoughts.
Well, too bad you don't have somebody who can come get you one of these hot dogs.
Yeah, they sound good.
They do. They look good, too. They're unbelievably photogenic.
I don't know. Looks like, you know, eat too many of those, you're going to end up with diabetes.
Well, I wouldn't eat a whole lot of them.
What did Matt say?
If you eat too many of those, you're going to end up with diabetes.
Well, I got diabetes in here.
Oh, well, look at that. You're in good shape, then.
There you are. Hey, well,
I'll just shoot some more insulin.
There you go. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, we'd be glad to hear from you. It's always good to hear from people out there in the listening audience.
I think so, yes.
Very interesting night and very interesting morning here this morning.
I think both of which have been enjoyable.
Enjoyable, emotional.
Yeah, the event was kind of like bittersweet, I guess, but it was good, enjoyable nonetheless.
Yeah. I think it was fun, though. It was fun. You know, you always remember where you were if you were a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, I could almost tell you where everybody I had to go talk to was sitting.
You know, there were a lot of people involved in that show. That was quite a cast.
It was quite a cast, yes.
We just, that whole, I will never in my life again do a a la carte. Never.
You need like a waiter?
Yeah. Well, that was the idea last night, but then one person didn't show up.
Why don't you just let people like, I don't know. We could have just had them get food when the thing started.
No, it's harder to get people sitting down. Plus, you've got to make an announcement that the food is open, because some people don't realize the food is open. You got two ways you can do it. You can deliver it to the tables, or you can have them all go up at once you got their attention.
Okay.
Oh, trust me. Then you come up to me, as I'm saying, getting ready to release people to the food. You're like just standing there.
Yeah.
And I think, why are you standing there like that?
I
had to turn to you and come off rude. Say, do you want to say something?
There was no. I don't think it came off rude. I mean, I was just kind of standing there. But no, it was a whole thing. I mean, not really. I mean, it was more like I was supposed to tell Dakota to get some pictures, and I thought that Dakota was still in the kitchen because Dakota had been helping them prepare all that. So I went all the way to the kitchen, and then the ladies in the kitchen wanted me to relay to you that they insisted that Mary Ellen and Larry's tables go first, and then I went. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And then I went and found Dakota, told Dakota, you know, whatever.
Who was sitting right in front of us.
Yeah, I didn't know she was sitting in front of us. I thought she was still in the kitchen. And then...
See, all that could have been averted.
And then he was up there getting ready to tell people that the food was ready. And I was like, oh. So I got it in there, though.
Well, we got it in.
It wasn't as smooth as I would have liked, but it got in.
All right, 45 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If there's anything anybody would like to say, and again, we do have that Larry Barnett and Mary Ellen Withrow freshly autographed Tony Paco's baseball. If anybody is interested in that with a, I guess, $100 bid so far. We ought to get Ben Higgins in here to...
I like,
it's like,
you know,
the pie auction.
I like going to auctions. I mean, I don't know that I've ever actually bid on anything, but I like to listen to the auctioneer do their thing. That's a neat job.
So, by the way, we started earlier this morning on the flock cameras, but you weren't here for that hour. So, what's your opinion on the flock cameras?
I mean, I think
because Monday night we're heading toward the big panel discussion during committee meeting, 6:30, second floor, City Hall. What do you think?
I mean, I think they should ban the flock cameras, but I don't see it happening. But besides that, I mean, as far as the committee meetings and city council goes, I don't know. It just seems like I think that they should just put the camera thing up to a vote at this point. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like the conversation's been had. Everybody that gets up says the same things. Like, both in opposition and support of the flock cameras. They all say the same thing. Like, I don't know. It just seems like it's kind of moot at this point. I mean, everybody gets up there and says the same spiel. And, so you just hear the same thing about 10 times in a row. And then, and then they just move on. And I'm like, okay.
But what do you make of what might happen Monday night with this panel? Which I assume will have the sheriff on it.
Well, I think that'll be good. I mean, I think it might actually be informational, unless, you know, I don't know, meetings tend to somehow end up not informational, but I figure the panel's going to have some information. I would figure they know what they're going to be, you know, I figure they know what they're talking about.
Now, you've said you don't understand why people dislike the flock cameras, but like the ring cameras.
Well, I mean, a lot of the problems that they mentioned with the ring, or with the flock cameras, I mean, like, I guess the ring cameras don't, like, you know, log your license plates, but I mean, like, they like the cops can subpoena to get your ring camera. They don't even have to subpoena. They can just go to Ring and ask Ring for it. I did say the other night on my show that you don't own the footage or pictures from your ring camera, which, looking into it, is actually false, but you do, the terms of service, you do agree to let Ring basically have access to all of that, and they give it to the police, and they also they got in trouble a while back for having people like employees looking through just private like footage and pictures and things of like people in their bedrooms and whatnot, and they got in trouble for that. The Ring cameras have been hacked. They have microphones, so, like, there's just, like, random people talking to you through your Ring camera. Like, you know, all the same problems that people have with flock, Ring has. I mean, it's the same thing. The only difference is you pay for the Ring cameras.
So, what's the problem?
And you have access to it.
So, why do you think people draw such distinct lines?
I mean, the only real distinct line I really see is that, like... You know, you own the Ring camera. I mean, I guess, you know, again, I mean, you know, there's the whole thing about the TOS and Ring actually, in theory, can do whatever they want with the footage. But, it's kind of like the thing that the government shouldn't be surveilling us. We should be surveilling them. It's like private. It's surveillance on our behalf, not on the government's behalf, even though we're not actually surveilling the government. But it's just like, you know. So the government's just not watching you.
All right. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. When I bring up flock cameras, there's a lot of feedback, which is good. But we'll see if anybody has any take on that. Maybe that's the argument to be made. Is if you don't have a problem with the Ring cameras, why are you having a problem with the flock cameras?
I mean, I'm definitely in the minority there, but I tend to agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I think if you have a problem with the Ring camera, the flock cameras, you should have a problem with the Ring cameras. Same thing.
As I said this morning, I don't know why they just don't vote. Just vote.
I agree. I mean, I think that I mean, I think you put it up for a vote, it fails. So I mean, go ahead and put it up for a vote. I mean, you know.
Oh, I don't even think
you have to change anything.
Listen, people can believe what they believe, but I think that vote has gotten worse every week. I think the night that Thad brought it up the first time, I think they might have had the votes.
I don't know.
Oh, I do.
They might have had four. I don't think they would have had the votes to...
I do. I think they definitely had four.
Yeah, I think they had four.
They definitely had four, but there were people who were not saying anything that I think that night, all you needed was one. And there were a lot of people who weren't saying anything. But you had four distinct votes that would have went to remove them. And I can cite at least two people. There were only two people who said they were in favor of keeping them out loud. So you had three people who we did not know their feeling on it. And I don't know that Bill Dichtel was all in on that. Matter of fact, I'm not sure that he was, because he said he would just like to see some legislation. And so if it would have been forced to a vote, I don't know that he would have voted no. And Sean Barr never said a word in that conversation. And I don't know that Mrs. Larkin would have voted no that night. I think those are your wild cards. So there's that. But I think progressively, as the conversation has gone on, I think it's far less. I'd be surprised now if they had two votes.
I think part of the problem is a lot of the people that get up to speak on behalf of the banning of the flock cameras, like, they mention other flock cameras. Like, by the way, I don't know. The only ones I know anything about are the ones we have. But, like, I don't know. They say that there's one that, like, flies. Don't know that that's true or false, but I mean, it's feasible, I guess. They have ones that have servos on the camera, so the camera can turn. We don't have those. I figure we should just keep the conversation to the cameras that we do have, and I mean, if you're gonna ban flock cameras, the other ones are banned anyways. I mean, I'd just focus on the ones we do have now, and or if you're okay with the ones we have now, then just ban the ones you're not okay with, like the ones with the servos or the ones that allegedly fly.
Well, it's very interesting. I think that because of a lot of accusations with no evidence that's been made of the police department in this particular case, I think that's what's turned a lot of people who are maybe on the fence for them.
Yeah, I don't think you can... There is that. I don't think that the police are, abusing or overusing, however you want to phrase the, phrase it. But I don't think they're doing that with the flock cameras. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I tend to believe what the police chief said. I mean, you know, I mean, why wouldn't I? I mean, I don't have any evidence to the contrary. I would assume that, you know... When it comes out that the flock cameras have been used for something like that, then we can bring it up. But until then, I don't really see it as a good point. But I don't, you know, I mean, it's always there. The best point you got is that it could be abused, and I guess they could cite the examples in which they have been. But besides that, I mean,
well, what's wrong with that argument that they could be abused?
Well, nothing's wrong with that argument.
But that's not the argument we get.
Yeah, I know. The argument is that they are being abused. Well, I don't know that they never. I don't think they ever explicitly said that they are being abused. But they certainly seem to.
But there is see, here is what I think one of the major problems. It's almost some people have turned it into a our police department does bad things.
I don't think...
Far beyond flock camera. And because they've done bad things, then they're going to do this badly too. And I don't think that argument is a very strong argument to make, and I think it has cost them votes on council. Because I think there are people on council who might not have been for flock cameras, but who do support the police officers.
Well, I don't think that you should be tying in, like, support or I don't know. I don't think it's a for or against police kind of a thing. I mean, I think that you can be for police against surveillance, and you can be against police for surveillance. I mean, no, it wouldn't make a
but
whole lot of sense.
You don't think we've deteriorated into that?
For police against police?
You don't think the conversation has went, well, because the local police department has done this, because the local police department has done this, we can't trust them here either.
I mean, I would assume, I mean, I don't know, maybe rephrase the question, I don't understand.
I said, you don't think part of this conversation has went to, listen, we don't have because, any evidence, like, that the police
do bad things, so they must be doing bad things.
In Marion, that they will cite things that they have done in other cases, nothing with flock cameras, but they've done other things poorly, so they could do this poorly too. So we have to be aware of that.
I mean, I don't think that follows. I mean, I don't know. You know, as it goes, cops are people. People aren't perfect. I mean, I don't know. People make mistakes. Now, I don't know, you know, what the repercussions have been for those mistakes, but I think they should, you know, there should be repercussions, but I don't think that just because they have made mistakes in the past, they are actively misusing the flock cameras.
You know, I don't know. What I have learned is cops are held to a different standard.
Well, yeah.
But
like politicians and, you know.
Well, no, I don't even know if it's that. Because, like, a doctor, for example. Well, if there's a doctor who botches a surgery in Waldo, it doesn't mean your doctor's botching a surgery in Marion. Just because they're both doctors. You know, if there's a banker embezzling money in Cleveland, just because we have bankers in Marion, it doesn't mean they're embezzling money, but it almost seems like by association, because you're in this field and people have abused them, well, it's bound to happen here too.
Well, I think it'd be more like a doctor in Marion botched a surgery, and you were about to go have a surgery from a different doctor in Marion, and you were like, well, he botched the surgery, so this guy's probably going to botch the surgery.
Yeah, but that's...
I don't think it's good logic.
Again, is there one piece of evidence that the Marion Police Department has misused the flock cameras?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So what is the general uproar? And by the way, on the Fourth Amendment, if this was in violation of the Constitution, couldn't you take that to court?
The courts have already ruled that it's not a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Okay, then why are we still talking about that?
I don't know. I don't know. That's why I don't bother bringing it up when we talk about the flock cameras, because the courts have already ruled against you. You are wrong as far as in the court's eyes.
And the founding fathers set up that system in which the courts decide. So, I know a lot of people invoke the founding fathers in these conversations. I guess that's what they would have wanted.
I mean, things can always be overturned, I guess, but like I said, I mean, you know.
Well, why not wait for that to happen? That'd be a good time to come in and do something.
Well, I mean, I think there has to be public pressure before things overturn, but I don't think that you should be conflating it with other things.
I just think a lot of political capital has been spent here. And I think the best shot they had, and I said it at the time, was the night they introduced it.
Probably.
And I think after that, it's been a downhill slope. And with every conversation, I think they lose votes, and they may be at 2-3 right now. And 2-3 is not anywhere near where they need to be.
I would figure they still got 3.
I think you're going to be surprised about that.
I don't think they got 4, but I think they got 3.
I don't know if they even have 3 anymore. But we'll see about that.
I don't know. But the flock camera thing is just... I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I think arguing that it's a Fourth Amendment violation is no good because the courts have already ruled that it's not a Fourth Amendment violation. You know, so there's that. But, you know, there have been other rulings to protect, like, you know, things. Like, you can't, I don't know, some, like, they need to have, like, I don't remember how they phrased, but basically, like, a higher level of evidence before they can, like get your phone, because your phone provides, like, what they referred to as, like, a, basically, because you take your phone everywhere, your phone knows everywhere you've been and, like, everything you do. So they just claim that, like, it, you know, you need extra evidence for that. But, like, I mean, I don't know, the flock, I mean, at least in Marion, you have to have a case number, is my understanding, to even be able to use the flock cameras.
All right, we're going to break. We've got a whole nother hour right after this.
Place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can't.